The following presentation is from North Pine Baptist Church. We trust that it will help you learn more about God and His message for the world. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.
What a gracious gift that we have, the mercy of the Lord every single day. A mercy we recognise in the extending of His grace to us in Jesus Christ. And we're going to continue to focus on mercy as it was directed to one particular person. And the sermon title today is Jesus Restores the Fallen. On the Resurrection Sunday, Jesus sent a message to His disciples. And the message was, go tell the disciples and Peter, I am going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see me just as I have told you. Now, one of the events that happened in Galilee was in John 21, 1 to 3, and continuing on. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to His disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. What we have here is a group of disciples who are drifting. They're not being disobedient because they're in Galilee, and Jesus told them, go to Galilee. They know about the resurrected Jesus and they want to serve the resurrected Jesus. They haven't lost their faith. They haven't given up. But just at this moment, they're feeling a little bit lost, a little bit lacking in direction. They're literally drifting on a lake, catching no fish. Drifting in their discipleship. Because they're not really sure what they should be doing. And then Jesus comes along and He stands on the shore. And He tells them to throw the net onto the other side. And this miraculous catch of fish happens. And everyone realizes it is Jesus. And Peter jumps into the water and swims to the shore. And Jesus has breakfast all ready for them on the shore. And they count the fish, 153. And they eat some of those fish. Jesus has revealed Himself again to His disciples, and those drifting disciples are now focused once again. And then there's this conversation between Jesus and Peter, and it's this conversation that is going to be our focus this morning. John 21, 15 to 25. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Jesus, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, a rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other books, many other things as well. If every one of them was written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. But boy, we'd love to have some of those books, wouldn't we? Why is Jesus having this conversation with Peter? Three times he asks Peter, "Do you love me?" It correlates to the three times that Peter has denied Jesus. So there's something about the denial that's still hanging in the air at the moment. Now we know, because we spoke about this last week, we know that Jesus has already reminded Peter that he has a place in the plan. Remember, he said, "Go tell the disciples and Peter." Jesus has already forgiven Peter. And I want us to think about how Peter and Jesus end up sitting on the lake shore eating fish together. It's because of this miraculous catch, isn't it? And there's kind of a reminder there for Peter, isn't there? Remember back before Peter was one of the 12 disciples, he was following Jesus. He was kind of a disciple, but he wasn't one of the 12 yet. Jesus borrowed Peter's boat so that he could preach from the boat to the crowds on the shore. You remember that story, part of it? Luke 5, 4 to 6 and 10 to 11. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything and followed him. A huge catch at the beginning, and now another huge catch. Jesus is giving Peter a message, isn't he? Jesus is saying to this man, just because you denied me, that doesn't mean that you stop being one of my spiritual fishermen. And all that is true. But there's still the consequences. There's still this issue of the denial of the brokenness hanging in the air. There's still this issue of the fact that Peter, he gave up Jesus. He gave up on Jesus. And in effect, he also gave up on the rest of the disciples as well. He was meant to lead them. He was meant to be the one that they looked up to. And now here he is, denying Jesus. Now, even before Jesus talks directly to Peter, there's something about this meeting on the shore which gives Peter the heads up that this discussion is coming. I'm going to go back to the earlier part of John 21, verse 9. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Now, in the New Testament, there is a very common word for fire. And this is not it. In fact, this word for fire only appears twice in the whole of the New Testament. The other place is in John 18. "You aren't one of this man's disciples, are you?" she asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants and the officials stood around a coal fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. Around the first fire, Peter makes his denial. Now there's another fire. It's the same sort of fire. And in this fire, Jesus is cooking breakfast and providing bread and offering fellowship. Nothing happens by coincidence with Jesus. The first fire was the fire where Peter took the initiative to deny Jesus. The second fire, this fire of fellowship, is where Jesus is taking the initiative to restore Peter. Because that's what Jesus does, doesn't he? Jesus restores. Even when we've beaten ourselves up about the past, Even when we are stuck in the guilt, even when we know we are undeserving, even when we feel disqualified and beyond forgiveness, no matter what form of the break we have made from discipleship, restoration is available. It's available to the repentant. And so we've got to see in all of this that Peter, as he wept bitterly, that was an act of repentance. We saw that before. So there's been repentance, and then there's been the death of Jesus, and then there's been this story, Peter, go to Galilee. And now it's a continuation of that ongoing story. It's not restoration in a vacuum. It's restoration in response to repentance, in response to Peter recognizing he did something that broke his relationship with Jesus, and he did something that broke his relationship with the church, with the people of God. Something really significant is happening here, which is why Jesus asks the question in the way that he does. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Let's read the other time when Peter calls him, Jesus calls him Simon, son of John. John 1:40-42. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John the Baptist had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which translated is Peter. The first time that Jesus meets Peter, he calls him Simon, son of John. Ever since then, it's Peter or it's Simon Peter. Until this moment. How many of you have it that when your mother calls your name and she uses both of your first names, Alan John, can you please come here? Sometimes without the please. You know you're in trouble, don't you? Just by that name. You know the meaning of the moment because of the name. For Peter, being called Simon, son of John, he knows the meaning. It's the meaning which says this is going to be a new beginning. A new beginning. I called you Simon, son of John, the first time I met you, and we went on this great adventure together. And now here he is again. I'm calling you again. There's going to be another new adventure, the new era when Jesus has ascended and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Simon, son of John, I want you to be part of. A new beginning. Even though the three denials are still hanging in the air, now that there has been bitter weeping, now in front of the fire of fellowship, here is a new beginning that starts with Simon, son of John. Three times, Simon, son of John. And then in response to the conversation, Peter is given a ministry assignment. Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep. Jesus is basically saying to him, Simon, son of John, I have a work for you. Out of your love for me, I want you to show that love to the church and those who will be part of the flock, to the lambs, to the little ones, to the sheep, to the older ones. Feed them, take care of them, pastorally care for them, look after them. There's a whole range of imagery that goes on there. Be the shepherd to these people because I am the good shepherd. Three times Peter is asked, three times Peter answers, and three times Jesus gives an assignment. There is no doubt about this moment. It's a restoration moment. The issue of the denial has been put into the past. And through this process, Peter has learned a significant truth about being a disciple. And the truth is that every disciple must have a humble estimation of their faith commitment. And you might be sitting there going, I don't quite see that, Pastor Alan, how you got to that point. Well, that's okay. We'll keep talking about it. Because it's actually difficult to see this outcome in the English translation. But when you have a look at the Greek, you can see it really clearly. When Jesus begins a conversation with Simon, son of John, Jesus uses the Greek word agapao, which is the verbal form of the noun agape. Agape love, we're familiar with this term. Agape love is total commitment love. Agape love is a no strings attached, whatever the Bible tells me I will do. I will follow Jesus wherever he will take me. Whenever the Bible talks about the love that God is showing us through Jesus Christ, through his son, it's always this agape love. So the first question being asked, Simon, son of John, do you agapao me? Do you have an all-in sacrificial, I will never deny you love for me? And when Peter responds to the first question, when he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, when Peter does that, he actually uses a different Greek word. The Greek word there is phileo. Jesus says, do you agapao me? Jesus and Peter says, I phileo you. Phileo is a word that describes family relationships. Phileo means fondness and having an affection and a personal attachment and a very close friendship. Phileo can describe the love that God the Father has for his son, and it can describe the love that Jesus has for his disciples. It's a strong word. It's still a strong love word. But it's not agape. Agape love would never deny Jesus. And so when Jesus asks Peter, do you agape me? Peter responds, Jesus, I phileo you. Is that bad? Is it bad that Peter can't say, oh, I'm all in, Lord, I've got the agape love nailed down? Is that bad? Well, it's not. And we know it's not bad because in response to each of Peter's responses, Jesus still gives Peter a ministry assignment, doesn't he? He doesn't say, Peter, do you agape me? And then Peter says, I phileo you. And then Jesus says, well, that's no good. He says, I've got a ministry assignment for you. Three times. It's not bad. It's actually honest. Peter's response to Jesus at this point is an honest answer. Lord, I want to love you. But I know myself. I know that I don't have the character and the strength. I know my weaknesses and I know my failings. I know that I can't stand here and say, I've got you 100%. I said I wouldn't deny you, Lord. And I looked at all these other weak disciples and I said, they'll all do it, but I won't. And then I did. I didn't want to deny you, Lord. I was committed to the cause, but Lord, I did. I know myself. I know, Jesus, you have a plan for me. I know we will get there. But just right at this moment, Lord, the honest answer is the best that I can give you is filio love. It's okay to be honest. Not just for Peter, but for all of us. How many of us are just so aware? So aware of this desire for 100% commitment that just is, it's a desire. Where I'm going to be a light. I'm going to be a light to the nations, and I'm going to stand up for you, and people are going to look at me and they're going to go, there's a man of God. Until lunchtime. How many of us? January the 1st is good for this, isn't it? How many of us? God, this year, I'm going to spend an hour with you every day in prayer and devotion. This year is my year, Lord. And then by February the 23rd, we're able to manage 5 minutes a week. We get tired, we get distracted, we get frustrated to the detrimental of the gospel. Everyone else will give up, Lord, but I won't. But there we are, around the fire of failure. And we know we have let the Lord down. Every disciple must have a humble estimation of their faith commitment. Not because now we pull it out and say, oh, you know, Lord, here's my excuse. You know, that's not what we're saying here. Don't pull it out as an excuse. Oh, you know, Jesus, you know, I'm just human. We do that too easily as well sometimes. Not talking about giving you an excuse for failure. But if we don't have a humble estimation of our faith commitment, then Jesus cannot give us ministry assignments. Instead, Jesus has to keep warning us about the fall that will come because of our arrogance. The Peter in the upper room, the one who didn't have the humble estimation of his commitment, the Peter who said, all will fall away and I won't. That's the Peter that went with Jesus to the garden and Jesus said, hey, just stay awake for a little bit of time and pray. And he fell asleep. 3 times. That's the Peter who, when the arrest came, he ran like all the others. And that's the Peter who went into the courtyard and he denied. But this Peter sitting around the fire with Jesus, this Peter who at the moment is saying to Jesus, Jesus, I can't quite say I agape you. This Peter is no longer relying on himself, but is humbly serving Jesus as he is able to at this moment in time. And Jesus gives him the assignment. Feed my sheep. And in giving that assignment, Jesus shows this huge, huge outworking of grace. Told you about the first series of questions. Second series of questions goes exactly the same. Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Agape, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Filio. So the first two series of questions are exactly the same. On the third time, Jesus actually changes the question. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he changes it to Philio. You see what Jesus has done? Jesus has said to Peter, you know what? I know that you can't answer me fully by saying you can agape me, so I'm going to ask the question differently. And the question is now, Philio. I know you can't do agape, but can you do Philio? Peter says, yep, I can do that. It's a humble estimation of his faith. One day, for Peter, it will be agape. One day, Peter will be hanging on a cross, upside down, and he will be martyred for his faith. He hangs upside down because he's not willing, according to church tradition, he's not willing to replicate the death of Jesus. Upside down. Agape. Giving his life for Jesus. One day he will get there. Just not today. All that Peter can manage at the moment is this humble estimation of faith. And Jesus looks at his disciple, the disciple who had denied him, the disciple who had wept bitter tears of repentance, the disciple who was drifting, and Jesus says to this disciple, Jesus says, I know that you have at the moment, all you have for me is Philio, and that's enough. Because you still love me. My brothers and sisters, there are always going to be days when you can't give that agape love. Those days when you know you have not stood for the Lord as you ought. Those days when you know you've let him down. You haven't given up on Jesus. You haven't given up on your faith. But if you're going to give a honest, humble estimation of what you are at that moment, it's Lord, here I am. I can't give you agape. I can't give you that. And Jesus says, well, that's enough for this moment. That's enough. Because it's not about you. It's about me. Only Jesus is enough. We don't get it right. We don't have it all together. We don't have 100% commitment. But when we have a humble estimation of our faith, Lord, here I am, having cried bitter tears of repentance. Here I am, in all my weaknesses and all my shortcomings and all my failures. I'm not sure how good I will do it, but I'm willing to give my best. Lord, I love you. And it's more filio now than agape, but Lord, I love you. And Jesus steps there and he says, you know what? I'll take that. I'll take that. Relying on his name. That's what gives us the new beginning. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you through these past weeks that we've focused on Peter and his journey. We've recognized that he's gone through a whole different range of responses to you. And then here we are today, Lord, seeing you restore him. As we as your people think about our journey with you, we thank you, Lord, for the restorating love that you have for each one of us. But Lord, for that to be available, bring us to that place of bitter repentance, weeping, as we recognize we've let you down, we've let your people down, we haven't lived as we ought. Jesus, may your word do what it needs to do today in each one of us, we pray, and all God's people say, amen. We'll be right back.
Thanks for joining us for this presentation from North Pine Baptist Church. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.